From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. Another team has fallen by the wayside due to the cannon attached to Pat Mahomes' shoulder. And I'm back, so you have to listen to my take still. It's still Steelers week for me. So we're going to get to it. We have a couple of things, and we're going to look at this team overall and what they have coming down the pike. Just how good can this team be? We have all three of us on board today. We have Chris Clark from both Locked On Chiefs as well as Chiefs Digest. The Athletic's own Seth Kaiser here is, at least in most mental capacities. And you can find my stuff at RGR Football. How are you, fellas?
Doing very well.
I'm doing a little bit better than Seth is right now, I think, although he might be feeling better than me.
Yeah, I'm flying high, man. If people don't know, I mean, I went in and had my surgery done today, and so now I'm sitting here with a bag of ice and on a couple Vicodin and feeling pretty good. So we'll see how this goes.
With that in mind, Seth, I have to ask the question. So what is your prediction for final stats for Mahomes this season?
Oh, 11 million.
I like that one.
That's something we should talk about because I had a lot of people ask after this last film review, and I know we want to talk about that in a little more depth. There are a lot of things that wouldn't shock me at this point.
Well, before we get into that, let's talk about the news just a little bit. There was a little bit of news on Wednesday. Looks like Chris Jones did not practice. Eric Berry did not practice. Ben Neiman was limited.
It looks like Reggie practiced, but he's back on the report again with that knee as well.
Yeah, Cam Irving and Kendall Fuller are on the report as well as Jarvis Jenkins. But they all fully practiced today, so.
The only one I'm worried about, I think Jones will be fine. Barry, it's a bummer. The rumors are things are looking better, and so that's good. The fact is they're 2-0 without him, so fair enough, right? Ben Neiman, I'd like to see get healthier so he could take Terrence Smith's snaps. Although Terrence Smith didn't do too bad a job against the Steelers from what I saw.
Well, when they throw 60 times, that's what he's on the field to do. So
he would be nice to have back, though, because I trust Neiman a lot more in zone assignments and blown zone coverages were a lot of the problem against the Steelers.
And I'm still trying to figure out exactly why they have I understand that they liked his special teams play, Dorian O'Daniel, but why is he not taking those snaps that Terrence Smith is?
Yeah, that would be very fun to watch. I'm not sure why at this point.
So, but that's the biggest part of the news. Not really much else. I don't think I touched on this, but Cameron Irving's deal, we did get a little bit more clarification on the numbers. It's really more like a 2-year extension for $8 million as opposed to what was reported. So that's a good situation for Kansas City, and it makes a lot of sense why they did that contract.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
They give him money up front, and he's willing to sign it. So I think it's going to be a good situation, especially I think he played pretty well.
Well, let's hope that he grows into it because they need to play better in the run game, that's for sure, because this week was all Pat Mahomes all the time. Although he didn't really throw that many passes, did he?
Nope. 28.
I mean, we all thought he was going to be good. I know. And I know, Seth, you broke down all the film about how he's being good. But let's take it a step, like, higher level. 10 touchdown passes in 2 games. I mean, he broke the record that was held by Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm. And he did it before he turned 23 years old.
Right. Start number 2 and number 3. And I put that in my film breakdown, folks. Check that out on RGR as well. But that's the thing that just really floors me is like, okay, yeah, there's all these teams that rush their quarterbacks onto the field as rookies. And now you see Pat Mahomes as the case study in what to do in learning from a good veteran and how to do that. But do you feel that there's a chance someone's going to catch up? Because right now I just don't see – how he's going to be slowed down.
Sure. I don't have any good answers. I've talked to more than a few people that I really respect. I actually thought about writing an article just with the opinions of other analysts there at The Athletic or, just other guys that I really respect. I don't know how you slow down what they are currently doing. Chris Brown had a great thread. The not the former music artist guy, but the smart football, where he just talked about the fact that the Steelers tried everything, and my film review confirmed that. I mean, they tried everything, every type of thing you can think of. They tried cover one, cover two, cover three, man, zone, blitzing, their infamous zone blitzes that they're so good at executing. Nothing worked. At least with any consistency. They got him on a few plays, but then that was it. And so I don't know, you know, schematically, I don't see some magic scheme that's going to make this easy, especially this formation of death that they've been throwing out there, this, you know, this air raid empty set, mm-hmm. spreading the whole defense out. I mean, that's just tough to defend.
Well, and the biggest thing that's really tough to defend is you can spread it out and make it look like it's going to be five wide and still end up putting Kareem Hunt back in the backfield and have Travis Kelce as a semi-lead blocker and still have a pretty formidable running game in some regards.
Exactly. If teams cheat
those three wide receivers.
Yep. There's just not a lot to be done. And so I think it's more a matter of teams with extreme defensive talent, like the Jaguars and the Rams. Those will be the teams to watch.
Yeah, well, I think that you're going to see a fade towards the deeper zone concepts, like cover four, cover six, keeping as many guys back, make him take underneath routes. And I think that's the way this is going to evolve, at least towards the middle of the season is my expectation. But how then they counterpunch is what I'm really interested to see next.
Mm-hmm. Well, but even if they do that, what's been more fascinating to me is his processing. He is so far ahead processing what he sees than I ever expected he possibly could be. And I think that's what's made him look so great, is he's able to read the defense so much quicker than I ever expected that he could. And I think that's why he's playing so well. Because they have simplified the offense in some regards, but at the same time, him being able to look at three different wide receivers and process in the time it takes a defender to go from the snap to getting to him in the shotgun, that's huge.
Yeah, and let's give Andy Reid credit that he's letting Pat Mahomes do what he's done in the past. The empty set is because that's what he's done well. And when you have that many guys spread out and they're able to get starts right at the snap, you're not looking, you know, like a slow developing flat route or wheels or anything like that. You know, it makes if you can flick your eyes as well as Mahomes can, then it puts him back in that comfort zone that he was able to execute in college really well.
Yep. Absolutely.
I.
What else did you see from this game, Ryan?
Big thing for me was just that clearly they came out in week one trying to establish Tyreek Hill by ignoring him for, you know, however, what was that, 18 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that, and concentrating on others. Clearly it's, we're doing this week. We're doing this week. When they think we're going here, it's over. And once they spread it all the way around, I love seeing that both Conley and Robinson not only got looks but scored on top of Watkins and Kelce. It's just filling out not only that empty set but the fact that they can't have any breakdowns ever, period, because wherever it is, he's going to find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, craziest stat to me is still that they threw touchdowns to seven different people in 2017 last year. And Pat Mahomes has already thrown seven touchdowns to seven different people in 2018 in two games. And he still hasn't hit Sammy Watkins for a touchdown yet.
It's gotten pretty absurd.
Well, and I just hope to see more Sherman just between the two of us, three of us.
Of course you do.
Sure. Right. Sure.
And I think it's going to happen. Only Pat Mahomes can deliver on that.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Ever since we started the show, people are always asking for advice, including which team to bet on. And that's what I got to tell you, to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their site is super easy to use. We'd only recommend a service that's been good to our listeners and good to us. That's why we're urging you to take a look at MyBookie. You win, they pay. It's that simple. They have live in-game betting, and you can even take the over-unders on fantasy points scored. And they have all kinds of perks, the best in this business. And right now, MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give you and everyone else the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll even give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now. MyBookie will match that deposit dollar for dollar. Use our promotional code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim $1,000 in free pay. If you're willing to hold until after 7, you get the extra $25. That's only using the LOCKEDON25 code. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. So we have to look at, I mean, okay, maybe we're a touch ahead of the game here, two games in, but it's so stark what this offense is able to do, and the fact that they're able to make up for the defense that is lagging behind. And good Lord, we could talk about the defense all day long. I'm really not happy about much coming out of the Steelers game other than the D-line unit itself. But that fact sets us up for this, in my opinion, is a contender right now, today. I don't know how you guys feel, but do you think that they can get to the AFC Championship if they played it tomorrow or played four games tomorrow to do it? Seth?
Absolutely.
Chris?
Yeah, I think they can. I think that if they can get Eric Berry back, the defense is going to take a step forward that many may not understand just because of one player, but I think Eric Berry means that much to this defense. And I'm not saying they're going to go to top five or anything, but I think they could at least get to, you know, top 20 and maybe even top 15. He helps mask so many deficiencies.
Well, and here's the thing.
I would say even with the defense as it's currently assembled, even if Eric Berry never comes back, I've seen just enough flashes, including and hey. The defense has a ton of concerns. We all know this. You know, I've kind of somehow become known as the guy who's like always defending Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton has not done a good job this year, with the exception of parts of the second half of the Steelers game. So that, but we saw that, you know, they forced three punts in a row, right? Mm-hmm. And it was because of those three punts. First, the Chiefs were able to go ahead 2 touchdowns. And then had the defense not held firm, that safety that was given up would have been a disaster.
Very true.
Right? And then they forced another punt that should have given the Chiefs the ball back with – they got them the ball back with like 7 minutes to go. That should have been the dagger drive. And it was on its way to being that until Conley fumbled.
Well, and you know what, though? I want to back up because I heard a lot of people complaining about that, and I'm a little tired of it. That was a great play by Cam Hayward. That wasn't just willy-nilly, he lost the ball. I mean, that got punched out.
Yeah, that was a tough play. People need to chill. Conley made a good play just to get the extra yards he did. What I think the only mistake he made is he got a little greedy. He had gained about 4 or 5 yards at that point. That's the point where you just get both arms around the ball and go down.
Yeah.
You know, just dive forward for another couple yards. And I get it, though. But my point was, if that doesn't happen – we're all talking about the defense very differently, probably, because then the Chiefs hang on to the ball for, what, another 3-4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe punch it in. Maybe they completely drain out the clock. Or maybe Pittsburgh only gets it back with like a minute 30 with some desperation heaves and isn't really able to do anything with it. And now all of a sudden the conversation would be, you know, the Chiefs only gave up one touchdown in the second half. So the defense – and here's the long road to a short thought that I'm taking. This roster as it currently is, even with the defense as bad as it's played, is a Super Bowl caliber team. Because we saw against the Chargers, the defense have some successful drives as well. And that's all they need to be. They just need to be able to step up on 3 or 4 drives a game. That's it. This team can win a Super Bowl, even as it is.
And I think we've seen, luckily this year, that this game, you got one monkey off your back in the Pittsburgh Steelers that have knocked them out of the playoffs for years. The New England Patriots that Andy Reid's had success against with Alex Smith, Obviously, they've had their own struggles. It looks like Jacksonville is now the team that's going to contend out of the South and maybe for the championship game. I got to think the Chiefs are right there, but this looks like the path is getting clearer to get to an AFC championship and a Super Bowl.
I would agree with that. Now, obviously, it's so early in the season. You never know. Jacksonville looks like they're pretty legit. But that said, you never know when Blake Bortles is going to start playing like crap.
And that was my next comment was Jacksonville's biggest hole is Kansas City's biggest weapon right now.
Yeah.
Well, and I particularly like the matchup. I think the Jags are athletic. I think they're pretty aggressive. I think that can play well for the Chiefs. And honestly, I don't care how good they are. Nobody's going to run with Hill, period.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
So I'm a little optimistic, but if they were, say the Jags could slow them down enough or the Patriots come upon some renaissance and Belichick pulls rabbits out of his hat and whatever, and they are able to slow down this offense. So that means you have to bolster the defense as well. Is there a singular or are there multiple moves out there that Seth, let's start with you, that you would go after and try to improve the defensive side of the ball right now, 2 weeks into the season?
And that's obviously a tough thing to do. You know, trying to improve a team during the season, it's tough. You know, so there's the obvious Bashaud Breeland, which I have to assume if they were going to call him, they would have called him by now. If they were going to go that route, I think now's the time you do it. Skandrick hasn't played too bad. Nelson hasn't played too bad. They haven't played good. Fuller's looked good, but I just think they wanted him. He decided not to. So now I don't even think that's on the table anymore. I really don't. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Yeah, I agree. Chris?
Oh, I'm in the same boat. I don't think they're looking at Bashaud Breeland anymore. I have had people ask me about Patrick Peterson, and I have to chuckle because while that would be fantastic for Kansas City to be able to pull it off, they don't have the money this year to be able to pull off that type of contract. And I don't know what you would give up to get a player like that. At this point in the season, I don't know that there's going to be somebody out there that you can bring in and will have a significant impact, at least in the beginning of the year. Maybe you can go out and find a corner that somebody's not happy with. But the question is, can you afford the contract this year? I mean, they could make, you know, adjustments and, you know, extend people now and maybe make some room, but it's still going to be pretty tight. You've only got, I know $6 million is a lot, but when you're talking about going and getting higher end talent for those higher end positions, usually those yearly rates are going to be higher. So,
and the one thing, I mean, the Brett Veach has clearly talked about being like a multi-year guy. And so what I can see him doing, you know, if you look at over the cap, the Chiefs are getting like something like $19 million in dead cap money removed after this year. That's a really big deal. They go from near the bottom of the league in terms of cap space this next year to about the middle of the pack. And so, and then people can talk about, oh, well, they've got to sign this guy, that guy. But I mean, the money only goes up from there. Like, as things stand right now, this is the last year that they're really facing down a lot of dead money.
18 and a half right now. I'm on over the cap.
And so that's a big deal. And so they might view this as, you know, a multi-year window and all that kind of thing. And I get that. I really do. For me, I've just seen too many teams that we thought they had big Super Bowl windows, and those windows just shut a lot faster than you'd think. No one thought the door would slam on the Seattle Seahawks era as quickly as it has.
Yeah, and that's my contention. You have an offense that right now, and we have no reason to think that it's going to change, is elite, top five in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do enough, whatever that is, right now to take advantage of that. Because being multi-year is great. Having a long plan is important. But when you come upon something right now that is special, that is new, that is so far not been able to be adapted to by defenses in this league, you got to push that as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with that. Oh, and as far as Peterson goes, looks like his hit this year is about 15 mil. Then the year after is 11.8. The year after is 13.1. You know, as far as the Chiefs cap space goes, they could make that happen. That doesn't concern me. Now, I don't think they will, but they could make a move that aggressive happen. Now, I got to tell you, I personally, and maybe I am too mad on all this occasionally, but I personally would love it if they made that aggressive a move, because that aggressive a move says we are trying to win a Super Bowl now.
Well, I agree. That move says they're trying to win a Super Bowl now. I don't see how they get to the cap space for it.
Why?
You're $10 million short right now.
Yeah, well, restructure two people. I have two people in mind that aren't living up to their contracts right now.
I couldn't say.
And they're not the two you think I'm thinking of.
Well, like right now, let's say they're at about 6.5 mil. They need to get to 15. I mean, you could offer to trade a player along with a pick. You know, then you just restructure a couple guys. Ask Peterson if he wants to restructure it's once true. He's here. I mean, there's the salary cap. We've seen what the Rams are doing. The salary cap is by and large a myth unless you're really stupid with it and you give money to bad players. That's the big deal. It's not about big money. It's about big money to bad players.
You're not endorsing.
Can you make that any more obvious there, Ryan?
I just watched Top Gun. I had to do it.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the immediate future. It is crazy how expensive clothes are these days. Why do we buy new stuff for kids and they just outgrow them in a few months? And I have a couple of them. Wouldn't it be great if there's a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's called swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving from store to store and wasting all that fuel and get sifting through racks. Easily look for millions of clothes online in seconds. So over 14 million tons of textiles wasted every single year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste and from polluting the environment as well, so you can feel green about it. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store, so it's a little bit of both. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off of retail on all kinds of top-light brands. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. And if something doesn't fit, you enjoy a hassle-free, easy return within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off of select items when you first order and you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. Okay, so week three, we know that they can make some moves, but they're not going to probably. I have one that I'm looking at that I think will bolster things maybe towards the end of the season that I think Brett Veach should do, but I'm going to talk about that next week. So right now, we're looking at making the transition. They're playing San Francisco. I don't even want to hear it because I know what you guys are going to say. Bob Sutton is putting Eric Murray in a position that he cannot play well, period. And this week's no difference because they have George Kittle coming in who exploded week one. I think this is going to be a tough tight end matchup.
Yeah, it could be. He really likes going to his tight end there. This whole defense, I still don't know what to think of it. You know what I mean? There's just so much going on there. I will say I'm looking forward to watching the defense face a non-elite offense. And make no mistake, I'm not trying to undersell the Niners. They've got a great offensive system. And Garoppolo looks like a pretty good quarterback. I don't think he looks like quite the stud everyone was saying he was last year. But yeah, he looks good. You know, losing McKinley was a big deal with part of what they want to do. Their running back looks all right. They've got some good weapons. Goodwin is one of the few receivers in the league, almost as fast as Hill. But they're not Big Ben in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean?
And they're not, and they don't have a piece on their team, in my opinion, that matches Kansas City's top two, if not top three, threats on offense.
Right. I just think it's an easier game for the defense than the last few that they've faced. Because Phillip Rivers earlier in the year with nothing to lose is tough. I mean, he slings the ball real well. And mm-hmm. Big Ben in Pittsburgh always slings the ball real well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they perform against a decent offense, but one that's not considered elite. So I'm very curious about that. I'm also curious how well I'm going to do having just had a vasectomy, being at the game live. You know, that'll be interesting. We'll see how that goes. But
yeah, bring a cushion is all I'm saying.
Well, I purposefully decided to do the media box rather than like actually attending the game. Because if I'm actually sitting out there, I'm not going to be able to help myself, like standing, yelling, screaming. And I don't think that's a good idea right now.
Probably not. Just hope that Mahomes doesn't throw some ungodly throw that makes you want to get up and scream in the media box.
Yeah, I'll try to act semi-professional.
I feel like don't sit by Sam, okay?
I feel like Sam and I would be those people that would be a really bad influence on each other in the press box. And so
yeah.
I'll sit by my guy, Nate Taylor, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm very excited.
Good for you. Congratulations.
You know, looking at this game, I have to agree with Seth. It's going to be fun to actually see this defense against a team that is not probably does not have the talent to be a top 10 offense right now. Let's put it that way. Because I think Pittsburgh and I think San Diego, Los Angeles, both have the ability to be a top 10 offense. So seeing that is going to be fun. The question is can San Francisco find a way to slow down this Chiefs offense? And I don't know that they can.
But I think that's a good spot to leave it off for today. Folks, we are definitely moving on to the San Francisco 49ers. We'll be back tomorrow with the pregame show. Make sure you check out the video channel as well as The Athletic. All of our stuff over at Chiefs Digest with Matt Derrick as well. And we're looking forward to covering this game.
Thank you very much for all the new iTunes reviews. And more importantly, thank you all to the fans of the show, because as of this recording right now, I believe we're going to have our third day in a row that is our best day ever.
I echo that. Thanks for spreading the word and growing this conversation. We appreciate you guys listening.
I appreciate it.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.